For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Morning decisions. How about a creamy mocha frappuccino drink? Or a sweet vanilla? Smooth caramel maybe? Or a white chocolate mocha? Whichever you choose, delicious coffee awaits. Find Starbucks frappuccino drinks wherever you buy your groceries.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Welcome, football fans.
Live from the NFL Draft in Pittsburgh, it's the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, WWE superstar Seth Rollins, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Draft Day in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The NFL Draft 2026 getting ready to go down right there outside of Acrisure Stadium here in this beautiful Steel City in western Pennsylvania. We are live on ESPN as well as our usual haunts on Disney Plus and the ESPN app and ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Humble host Rich Eisen here reporting for duty. It's my two-a-day. I'll be here for the next 3 hours. First 2 hours on ESPN, third hour on ESPN2, and then later on tonight at 7 Eastern Time, sitting on the draft set of NFL Network, giving you coverage of the National Football League draft on that channel for a 21st time in my career, going gavel to gavel starting tonight when the commissioner of the National Football League puts the Las Vegas Raiders on the clock. And we've got Kurt Warner, my buddy, who will be part of the NFL Network draft coverage for tonight. He will be here in studio in hour number one. And then Daniel Jeremiah, who you'll also see on ESPN as part of their pre-draft coverage tonight. DJ will be with us here in hour number two, as well as NFL Network throughout the draft coverage tonight. Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Cam Hayward, a future Hall of Famer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They'll both be here, and Seth Rollins. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial to have a chat with us. It's a higher register Thursday. We'll give our higher register thoughts on what's going to go down in the draft tonight. And so much to discuss. Good to see you, gents. How are you?
What's up, man?
Rich,
how are you going,
Rich? I'm so excited. The draft day is like Christmas. I can't wait for
it. Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool. We all know what's going to happen tonight. The commissioner is going to put the Raiders on the clock, and then we're going to hear Fernando Mendoza's name. I will tell you this. This is the 20th draft of Roger Goodell's commissionership.
Oh, I saw that today.
Would you care to guess who was on the clock first overall in his first draft?
I know the answer. It was
Raiders.
The Raiders.
And they took Jamarcus Russell, the first name out of Roger Goodell's mouth as commissioner of the National Football League, announcing a pick was Jamarcus Russell.
Is that a
for the Raiders?
Bad?
No, what it is? It's
sign?
No. It's called a coincidence.
Okay,
that's all it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't read anything into it.
Okay, I don't know. Right? I'm just throwing it out there.
They're both quarterbacks who were drafted first overall by the Raiders. And I think from there on out, we go separate paths.
Yes.
I believe. We'll find out. Obviously, careers must be played and played out. And then the drama starts with what the Jets are going to do at second overall. Is it going to be David Bailey, the edge rusher out of Texas Tech, or will it be the conversion linebacker, which is the phrase that's used for Arvell Reese? Which one will that be? And which guy that's left on the board for the Cardinals to take will be potentially the apple of someone else's eye to go trade up and go get him? And Daniel Jeremiah, who's joining us in hour number two, gave everybody his mock draft on NFL Network last night. And he has the Saints trading up for Arvell Reese at 3 and the Cardinals moving back to go to 8, where they're going to end up taking Francis Maui-Noua, the tackle out of Miami. And then if something like that happens, let's just say Arvell Reese goes, we don't talk about a trade. This is when the Jeremiah Love, Sonny Styles conversation hits for a bunch of teams. Mm-hmm. However long both of them last on the clock. The first one that might have that question is the Tennessee staff. And that'll be Robert Saleh's got, as you know, a whole bunch of bald coaches. and somebody's going to lose more follicles in their hair when somebody puts a thumb on the scale and says, we're either going for the defensive player in Sonny Styles, or we're going for the offensive player, Brian Daboll. You know, would love be pounding the table for Jeremiah Love, with all due respect to Tony Pollard and the rest of the running back room there. The Browns there at 6th overall, the question is, do they trade out or do they take the tackle that they like a lot? I think it's going to be Spencer Fano out of Utah. We will see. Then comes a conversation at 7 for the Commanders. At some point, there's going to be a conversation in a room about taking a wide receiver. Is it going to be Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State, or is it going to be Carnell Tate out of The Ohio State? What do the Saints do if they stick and pick? What do the Chiefs do if they stick and pick? The Giants can remake their offense if they go offensive players 5 and 10. As a matter of fact, Daniel Jeremiah, again, he's going to be joining us in hour number two. He says that the Giants basically, like the end of The Godfather, settle all offensive family business and go Jeremiah Love at 5 and Carnell Tate at 10. If that's what happens, then the Giants with Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo and Theo Johnson and the rest of the skilled position players of Malik Nabers, they would be going to work in the NFC East in a significant way with two big-time offensive pieces if that happens. The first 90 minutes of the draft tonight is going to basically be my cardio for the day. And that doesn't really speak very well of my workouts or of how fast I'm going to run when it's revealed on my St. Jude 40-yard dash run on Saturday's NFL Network draft coverage for the culmination of Run Rich Run. By the way, certainly while we're sitting here on ESPN, stjude.org/runrichrun to donate any amount of money. We had our friend Brett Michaels drop a $10,000 check off here.
Big check.
But it's also made of plastic. At any rate, it's a large, big check.
I mean, it's right there.
It's sitting still right there. And we are in a bank. But anyway, I digress. The first 90 minutes of tonight's draft is going to be like a cardio moment where we're going to be nonstop moving, because each pick in the first round is 8 minutes long. When we first started the NFL Network draft coverage back in 2004 was the first one that we covered for NFL Network, it was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-day event. Now it's a 2-night, 3-day event. And now it went from 15 minutes down to 10. Now it's down to 8. The commissioner wants us basically back in our hotels by 11 o'clock tonight. I don't know if there's a curfew officially or what have you, but it's going to go fast. And if a team doesn't go and take all 8 of their minutes, we might see picks being sent in 5 minutes' time. So we're going to be needing to keep things moving and keep things talking tonight on our draft coverage. So I'm looking forward to all that. That's kind of setting the stage for you. The other things to look out for tonight are the teams that have multiple picks. The Cowboys sitting there at 12 and 20. Do they do anything? What do the Cowboys do at 12? Might set things up for the Los Angeles Rams at 13, using the spot that the Atlanta Falcons gave them in last year's draft. They're sitting there at 13. They already cashed in number 29, their own pick, to the they already cashed that pick in earlier to the Kansas City Chiefs to get Trent McDuffie. If the Rams, this is where they could shock the world and go ahead and take Ty Simpson 13th overall. I don't think they're going to do that. I'll repeat here for the ESPN audience what I've been saying on Disney Plus for quite some time. I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to, they've already indicated that by trading for Trent McDuffie, they are going to take a player that can help them win right now with Matthew Stafford coming back off his MVP season. And I think they are going to keep their options open once Matthew Stafford does decide to retire. Could it be the end of this year? Could it be the end of the next 2 years? That there's going to be some quarterback somewhere in the National Football League with Pro Bowls on their resume, on his resume, sitting there thinking, I might want to pull some sort of an NBA-type moment and say, or Carson Palmer-type moment, and I'm out of here. And I want to go be the next quarterback of Sean McVay's Los Angeles Rams with Les Snead shopping for all the groceries in Los Angeles, California. I think they don't go Ty Simpson here. Ty Simpson might go towards the end of the first round. As a matter of fact, Daniel Jeremiah in his mock draft says Arizona does, in fact, move into the end of the first round, moving up to 26th overall to take Ty Simpson, and he would be the quarterback of the future in Arizona starting right now. So that's something to look forward to. What happens when the Steelers go on the clock tonight, 21st overall, and seeing all the fans that are out there outside of Acrisure and what their response is going to be. I'm looking forward to the entire night. It's a beautiful night. It's a beautiful weather night. This city is so beautiful, lit up at night. It's going to be looking amazing. Western PA shining like a big star in the draft night on NFL Network's coverage, ESPN's coverage as well. Going down tonight, we're one big happy family now, don't you know?
Yeah, we are.
And I'll be honest with you, just to be straight up, to be sitting here, and this is the show that is on ESPN right now to kick off essentially ESPN's draft coverage of the day. With all due respect to everything that's been on before, the fact that we're here from Pittsburgh, PA at noon straight up right here on ESPN for the next 2 hours is something I'm honored by. Certainly having done SportsCenter in Bristol just a few days ago.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, just pinch me. I can't believe this is actually happening.
Dude, congrats. Soak it in. Oh, have a great day. It's going to be fantastic.
And I appreciate that. And all of us are going to have a great day. Kurt Warner is about to join us here. But I do want to touch upon this headline and this story. I'll be very honest with you. Folks, I have avoided talking about this subject matter because it involves two consenting adults. It involves two consenting married adults and what they were doing in their spare time with each other, allegedly, whatever might have been going on. I didn't want to even talk about it because I have no idea what's true and what is not. And whatever was going on between Diana Russini and the head coach of the New England Patriots in Mike Vrabel. Just didn't want to discuss it. Again, personal lives, and I understand that there's professionalism at stake and professionalism on the line for both individuals involved in this story. And we're all left to assume what is going on. I just didn't want to talk about it, didn't discuss it. But now the fact that Mike Vrabel's not going to be in the draft room, the Super Bowl head coach of the AFC champion New England Patriots, the reigning coach of the year, is not going to be in the draft room on Saturday because he is taking a moment in time to seek counseling, apparently with his family, over the weekend outside of the state of Massachusetts after being in the draft room on tonight, apparently, and then on Friday, and that the weekend he is taking the weekend off. It is unique. I've never heard of anything like this. I don't quite understand what is going on. Other than the fact, I just want to say this. Whatever both he and Diana need to do in their current worlds or existences, whatever they need to do to live their lives in peace and in harmony, I tip my cap to both people that I've known for quite some time. Vrabel, obviously, longer than Diana, who's been a frequent guest on this show in her time with The Athletic and prior to that with ESPN. Just wanted to say that, but I don't quite understand what is going on with Vrabel, where he's stepping. There's eight choices that need to be made, but clearly he needs to focus on his family life and his personal life. And I just send my best to him and his family on that front. And whatever needs to be repaired, he's clearly taking time away in a way that I've never heard of before to do so. Just wanted to say that. I was kind of shocked to see that headline that he is stepping away to take time out of the draft room. And there's going to be eight guys who get drafted who he's going to essentially what, find out on his phone what his team, he's going to follow a law? I don't understand what's going on, but clearly some repair needs to be made in his personal life, and he's taking his time to do all that. Just wanted to address that to start our program here today from the draft city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kurt Warner is about to join us. I see him right here. Let's bring him out here next. We'll talk about Fernando Mendoza and then send him on his way, because that's the only thing he gets to talk about in our draft coverage. No, I'm just kidding. Kurt Warner's next right here on my Hall of Fame buddy on the Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Point, yeah, you know, just looking to start, and then all the way up to the number one pick. You know, I'm excited for him. I think there's so much stuff to like on tape with what he did this year. You know, a lot of times when you have bigger, taller quarterbacks, they can struggle to be accurate. He's a big, longer guy, but he tremendously accurate, great technique. Ball's going to go where he wants it to go. I think, you know, a lot of stuff in their offense was more just, hey, you know, we've got it set up, pick a guy and throw it. But his ability to control the football at every level, especially down the field, I think is another huge asset for him. And then maybe the thing that jumps off the page the most, knowing that he's going to the Raiders and Tom Brady's going to be there, is he seems to have that big moment gene, you know, that when the game is on the line, when you need a play to be made, he made it over and over and over again. And that's what Tom Brady was known for, in the biggest moments, making those plays in the moment. So there is so much to like. I say it every year, though, with all these quarterbacks, they all have to get better if they're going to be great at the next level. Fernando's no different, but I'm excited about the pieces. I'm excited about him being around Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, in that situation, and I hope he just kills it.
Yeah, that 50-50 ball he threw to wrap it up against Ohio State, the obviously run against Miami where he put his body on the line and just got it in the end zone.
Throw against Penn State to finish it off.
He does have that big play. Yeah. That whole entire drive down the field as well.
Yep.
Going into Oregon, throwing an interception, but then coming back and winning that game. He does have that gene in him. So when you did first meet him come in your house as a kid going to Cal, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Like, you're like, he's got a good head on his shoulders?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like, what was he improved? What more importantly, what did Brenda think?
I'm not sure Brenda comes out. She's like, you go do your football stuff and then come in after. Here's the thing is when guys come to the house and train, especially when they're younger guys,
right.
My biggest thing to take away is how attentive are they to the process, right? Because you have some guys that we just get the opportunity, they come out, they just want to do their own thing. And then there's other guys that come out and go, teach me. Yeah, I want everything I can possibly get in these 2 or 3 days. I want to be a sponge. I want to learn. I want to take what I can, and then I want to build a relationship and stay connected. And that's what I noticed about Fernando. Is obviously he was talented. He could throw the football really well. You never know what their future is going to be. But to me, it was more about being in the room when we were talking about plays, and I was going through the process and what I looked at and why I looked at certain things and how I broke things down. And you know, he was always staying after those sessions, and he was always asking questions. You know, he's reached out to me at different times through this process of just how to handle it, how to go into, you know, situation, you know, with the Raiders and lead guys as a rookie number one pick. What does that look like? So that's what I loved so much about him. Obviously, he's got the talent. We've all seen that. But, you know, everything you see in terms of wanting to be a student of the game and wanting to be great at his craft were the same things that I saw 3 years ago when we were working together. And that's what excites you is when you have a guy that wants to be that, wants to do those things. You know, when he's going to have access to Tom Brady, who's a guy that probably did that as well as anybody, continued to find ways to get better and better and better and get as close to his ceiling as he could. That excites me that you've got a young kid that is going to have that access, that wants to be great. You know, and I think it really bodes well for the Raiders and Fernando.
Well, you know, the cousins of it all, I want to hit that as well with you. I don't know if we're going to have too much time to talk about it tonight on NFL Network and one pick's coming after another 8 minutes every time. Is what you think Cousins has been told. We had John Spytek on Monday, the GM of the Raiders, and he basically said, may the best man win.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, obviously there's one man who's got a thumb on the scale of being the first overall pick in the draft. Yeah. But you also have a guy who's got such a breadth of knowledge and experience to allow the first overall pick in the draft to marinate in preparation, right, for as long as it's possible. But what do you think Cousins has been told? Because he's signed knowing this is going to happen.
I'm guessing he's been told that it is going to be a competition and that, you know, when they deem Fernando ready to play, he's going to play. But they don't want to have to play him right away if he's not that guy. That's what I hope he's been told. I'm a believer that you should start young guys when they're ready. Don't force them into action before they're ready, because we've seen too many guys that get swallowed up by this league because they're trying to survive and they haven't had a chance to grow and learn and be in a position to truly thrive at this level. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope this situation is. If Fernando's ready week one and he's shown that through training camp and every day, I believe you start Fernando Mendoza. But if there's anything there that says, hey, we want him to grow in this area, we want him to do this, we want to take a little pressure off of him, I think it's a perfect opportunity to have a guy that's been there, that's done it, that is a pro, to show him the way. And so that's really what I hope has been told, that Kirk goes in not expecting to be the starter, but at the same time believing he's going to be the starter at the beginning of the season, can hold off Fernando as long as he can, or, you know, until Fernando takes that position. But I love that aspect of things. Too many guys, to me, are drafted to be the savior, thrown in right now, and I don't think everybody has the makeup or is in a position to do that. And I think now the Raiders are in a great position to not have to do that if Fernando is not ready.
Last question on this subject matter is the Clint Kubiak system. How easy might that be to, or difficult would it be for a rookie to pick it up, knowing Fernando as long as you have, without telling me you've known him for as long as you have?
This is such a hard thing for me, because
sorry to make that about me a little bit, guys,
because
name of the show.
I believe every NFL quarterback should be able to do everything, like take a snap under center and run play action and turn your back to the defense and play in the shot. Like you should be able to do all of that stuff. And so if you're, you know, able to do that stuff just from a physical standpoint, I don't think it's a huge transition to what Clint Kubiak does.
Mm-hmm.
His offense, they love to run play action and the naked bootleg game, which to me is pretty simple. It simplifies things down where you don't have to see the whole field. So that's not real hard as long as you can do the mechanics of it. They run very much a pure progression type system. So that's something that I know Fernando has done before. It's all over college football. So I think it's really just a mechanical thing, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think it's something that Fernando can't do. I don't look at this and go, oh, it's going to take him some time to get used to playing the way they want him to play. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's going to be a matter of, can he play at the level we want him to play at? Can he succeed early or quickly where we feel we can put him out there and start building this thing? Or does he need a little bit more time to grow into the player that that we think he can be?
I mean, you know, Cousins has got to be sitting there thinking, all right, I'm happy to be the mentor to such a nice, decent, awesome kid. Yeah. And I'm willing to do this, certainly with the amount of money that they're going to be paying me and the contract that they're going to give me, based on my knowledge that clock's ticking the minute I show up there for Mendoza. Yeah. But I've been at this for a long time. Right. I mean, this is the Shanahan system pays fealty to Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Like, that's the guy that everybody's been taught from Papa Shanahan to younger Shanahan, right? So he's got to be sitting there thinking, I'm beating this kid out if this is the way we're going to go here. I'll be a week one starter, and I'll take most of the opportunity I can get, right?
Like, I mean,
that's what he's thinking.
I would liken it to my situation with the Giants. When I went from the Rams to the Giants, and I knew they were going to draft Eli, but I felt the same thing. Is I was hoping for, at that time, 16 games. And I don't know what Kirk's idea is for the future. Is he trying to parlay this into another starting spot like I was? But I think you go in and go, okay, I know the system. I've played at this level. I'm going to be better than Fernando is, just like I was better than Eli was in that process. And so you're going to get as many games as you possibly can, hopefully a full season. I don't think there's any question. I mean, I always took that approach, like, hey, I want to share everything I can with these young guys. I want to give them every tool to be able to be as successful as they can, and then I'm going to beat them out, and I'm going to play. But that was my approach, and I felt like that. And so I would have to assume Kirk feels the same way, is that if they tell him best player's going to play, oh, great. I'm happy to mentor this kid. He's going to be great. I look forward to helping him, but I'm going to be the better player for this entire season. And so I believe I'm going to hold on to the job. The one thing that I know is that that's all fine and swell unless the team doesn't do well. And if the team starts to struggle and you're not winning, no matter how well you're playing as a quarterback, that's when you start really thinking about, is it better just to cut ties with the veteran now, get our young guy in, take our lumps, and so, kind of like the Giants, 2 years from now when this team is ready to compete, our quarterback's ready to compete, and now we have a chance to win championships.
Kurt Warner, our Hall of Fame friend. QB Confidential is his must view and follow and subscribe to YouTube channel right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Ty Simpson is QB2 on your chart here?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you like about him?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you hear all the talk about when you pop on the tape. I think there's times that his tape is better than Fernando Mendoza, just in terms of seeing the high-level throws, seeing what we call NFL throws, NFL-type offense where you have to read plays a certain way. And so there was a lot to like. You know, you talked about this Kubiak system, but McVay, Shanahan, the system that's kind of taken over the NFL. I believe Ty Simpson is the best quarterback in this draft in terms of his movement skills, his ability to run the naked bootlegs and buy time out in space and make those plays. So I think he fits in a lot of systems from that standpoint. So there's a lot to like about him. There are also a lot of questions about him and why, you know, there's all the speculation. Where does he go? When does he go? Is he a franchise guy? You know, the time, you know, the amount of time that he's played. I think you always need 2 or 3 years, I would say 3 years, to really know who a player is. So to have 15 games, it's like, especially the up and down of those 15 games, who is he really? What can we expect from? Because we've seen high moments, no doubt, but can we expect that? We've seen some low. Do we expect that? What kind of player is he? And then I've talked to a lot of people that said, you know, when they're up close to him, that the physical stature worries them. You know, that there's some guys that, you know, can be smaller from a, you know, height standpoint, but they just have something to the body, some thickness to them that they believe the wear and tear. Guys like, you know, Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson that are built a little bit different, even though they're smaller guys. Brock Purdy weighs in the 220s, where, you know, with Ty Simpson, they feel that he's very slight from a physical standpoint. And so that's a concern with a lot of people. So lot to like on tape, some really, really good tape. But I fully understand the concerns, and I'm fascinated to see how this will play out. You know, a lot of people, just with the fact of 15 games, is it a team that has a guy that's been a starter in the league that they believe he can really sit and learn? Or is he picked by a team that has to thrust him in right now and play? And is he fully ready for that?
Well, Arizona selects him, the LaFleur offense coming from the McVay offense. So it's a fit, right?
I mean, I definitely think it's a fit. I mean, what he does and what I saw on tape,
right.
I'm not sure there's a lot of systems that I say, oh, he can't play in that system. But you talk about the Cardinals, you know, right now they have Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, two, you know, technically backup guys.
Right.
So my concern there would be.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Does he have to be thrust in a little bit faster? And is he ready for that? Because you don't have that bona fide starter. You know, if you look at the Jets, you got Geno Smith, who you know has been a starter. You can let him sit. Obviously, the Kirk Cousins, Fernando Mendoza. You talked about the Rams. I think those would be great spots from the standpoint that Stapp's got another year, 2 years left. Young guy can come along and he can grow into it. So where he gets picked, and we talk about that all the time, where you get picked, what the situation is with the team that picks him, I think is really, really important.
Who is beneath the radar on the quarterback front right now, the radar you've been looking at?
You know, I think the next three guys are interesting. When you talk about Carson Beck, you talk about Garrett Nussmeier, and you talk about Drew Aller.
Okay.
They're all fascinating. I think teams look at them right now and say, we're not drafting them to be our starter right now. Can they be a starter? Maybe. But I don't think you draft them to be a starter. Carson Beck, huge fan. He's actually been training with EJ. And EJ raves about how smart he is, how well he knows the game.
He's your son.
My son, EJ, who's obviously hoping to get an opportunity as well. But they've been training together, and he's like, the guy's really smart. He understands the game. And so I'm not sure he's got that one thing that separates him as a starter. But when you start to hear that, big moments. He's played in a lot of big moments. A lot of success both at Georgia and Miami. Smart guy. I think he's got the potential to maybe be a starter. He could be number three off the board. Garrett Nussmeier, again, depending on what tape you look at, I think you're going to go, okay, is he 24, Garrett Nussmeier? Is he 25? What were the issues last year? But you can pop on the tape and you can see some of those same things. You know, his dad played in the league. His dad's a coach. He looks like a coach's son. He understands the game. He's got good physical ability, especially, you know, when you look at times when he wasn't injured. So I think he could excite people. He could be the number three guy. And then Drew Aller is I think the outlier here, because physically he's probably the most gifted thrower of anybody in this class. Like, it just comes off his hand. It's easy. He's got the big arm. But his play at the quarterback position doesn't match the physical part of it. But you and I have been doing this long enough to know,
right,
hey, we can teach playing quarterback. We can't teach those physical things. So I'm fascinated to see who jumps at him and thinks they can turn him into a really good quarterback because of the physical skills. So those next three guys, I think, are drafted as backups, maybe potentially starters at some point, and then they're going to have to prove that they belong in that role.
Did any of them come to your house to work out?
No, none of those.
I feel the need I have to ask these questions now. Like, I got to pull it out of you, man.
Well, you know, I like to let those guys share those nuggets, not me. But it just kind of seems to fit here with Fernando, right? Just because I've known him for a while.
But I'm not talking about bringing it to the Rich Eisen show public. I'm talking about I sit with you. In foreign countries, man. Like, you know, we spend time together. Like, and there's times when I am talking Big Ten football with you. You know, like, there's times we're talking about Cignetti and Indiana. Did you see this game? That game? Oh, you know, Fernando worked out at my house. Like, none of
that. Yeah, Kurt, for being such a cerebral player and now a cerebral analyst, you should have seen this coming from him.
I mean,
you know.
You know, he's got his own show, and
so
like,
yeah, I know.
You never know where it's going to go.
It's about him and his feelings, so you should have known.
It's not always about me. I know it's not always about you. Sometimes it is.
Excuse me. Omitting that information.
No, excuse me. I'm here for Kurt as much as I am here for you and anybody else in my life.
Understood.
Perfect example. The other day, and again, this is we're all learning here with ESPN learning us.
Sure.
Us learning them, and we are now in their care. Mm-hmm. The merger is complete.
I know.
We're on ESPN right now.
Literally right now.
Right now. Yeah. And the folks in the ESPN PR department, they're terrific. They're awesome. Uh-oh. I know some of them. No, I'm seriously. Okay, but they need to learn us as we need to learn them.
This is a wind-up.
Did you see the graphic to support us from ESPN PR to say, hey, the NFL Network draft coverage is coming?
Yeah.
You saw about Ian and Daniel have shoulder on you. Like, what's going on there? I was complaining about that for you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, but I also know where my role is. I know what my lane is.
Stop
this
it.
Is not my lane.
This is absolutely
the draft
your lane.
Is, the draft
what are you talking
is,
about?
I mean, DJ and Ian, this is their deal. This is your guys'
lane.
Deal.
This is my lane. Ian's not your height.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if I'm
now
you,
that's
Kurt,
true.
I would be,
maybe
yeah,
shouldn't
I'd be really
as
offended
me.
At that.
But yeah, I understand my role with the draft and where I'm at.
On
so.
You.
You know, I'm just not going to let DJ have shoulder on me when we talk about game day morning and those like
oh,
that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That's my lane.
All right. And then let's talk about EJ here.
Okay.
Do you mind? I mean,
no, not at all.
So tell me about him and what's going on with him and everything.
I mean,
with his son.
I'm excited. You know, he's like dad. He's just looking for an opportunity, somebody to give him a shot to play. I mean, you know, he comes in. I mean, he's a really good player. And, you know, I know it's like, oh, dad bias and all that. No. But, I mean, with this class, he has more passing yards in the regular season than anybody coming out in this class. So this kid has played really, really good football. He's got challenges like all these guys do. You know, he's a smaller guy in terms of being about 6 foot tall. You know, so those are the challenges that he faces. But he's a really good player. And during the process, it's been fun because, you know, you hear all the people talk about, you know, all the things. Can he do this? Can he do that? You know, I've had a chance to talk to a number of people that have been a part of this process that have watched him throw, have been around him. And everybody's been really impressed. And I think he's really going to impress whatever team gives him that opportunity to realize not only is he cerebral and he understands the game and he processes the game, but he's physically really talented as well. And so, you know, we're just sitting back and waiting. You know, I remember my time with the draft, as crazy as it sounds. I remember watching the draft from first pick to the end and thinking the next pick was going to be me. It didn't matter if it was one or two or the last pick in the draft. And, you know, it will be that kind of fun for us this weekend, even though, you know, not an expectation that he's going to get drafted, but you're just hoping for an opportunity. And then from the opportunity, you got to go earn it. And he knows that, and he's been working hard, and he's ready for that opportunity.
And he's worked out at your house, right?
He has a couple times. A couple times, yes.
In all honesty, though, I mean, like, if his name is called, you know, trust me, I'll be texting you literally on live television or calling you.
Right.
And if not, all we have to do is just, you know, look at you and your career and go to the movies, rent American Underdog, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part for us is that we all want it to go a certain way, and we all have these dreams of what the path looks like.
Right.
But you're right. I think he's got an example of, it doesn't matter. I mean, and there's other examples. I mean, look at Brock Purdy, you know. Yeah, sure. He did get his name called, but, I mean, he's the last guy there. And, you know, there's guys, I mean, I even tweeted it yesterday. You know, somebody said, you know, Hall of Famers by round. And, you know, there's 50 Hall of Famers that have technically been undrafted guys. There's 60 Hall of Famers that have been drafted from rounds 3 to 7. So, I mean, it just goes to show that you get to a certain point beyond the first round, and it's like, nobody really knows who these guys are until they get a ball in their hands between the lines in the NFL. And then you have to go prove it. And that's what he's hoping for, is an opportunity to prove it.
And I look forward to that. Last question for you, in watching all this tape, grinding all this tape on quarterbacks, who's flashed not a quarterback on watching this film where you're like, okay, like I see. Yeah. It could be a defensive play. It could be an offensive play. Anybody?
Yeah, you know, I mean, because that's what I always do. You know, again, not necessarily my wheelhouse, but I watch kind of the top 50 guys as Daniel gives them to me. And I'll say a couple guys that really intrigue me are going to be Jordan Tyson, because I think on the tape you go, I see why he could be the number one wide receiver of all of these guys. And there's some really good players, but I'm intrigued to see, does somebody jump at that guy with, you know, with the injury history and what he went through? Does he drop because of that?
Right.
Jermaine McCoy, the cornerback, who obviously missed all of last year with the injury, but I thought he was the best corner that I watched tape. Yeah, I thought he was the, like, when I watch it, I'm like, man, this guy's the real deal. But, you know, coming off the ACL, how does that affect him?
Right.
But those were two guys that, again, just because they're intriguing, because good players, tape was really good. But there's some questions about them that I'm fascinated to see where they go tonight. Do they go tonight, and where they end up?
Love you, man.
All right, buddy.
I'll see you tonight.
All right, we'll see you tonight.
Do this again.
Yes.
And I won't forget that you're there.
What's that?
I won't forget that you're there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I won't forget.
You know, after Mendoza goes, and then, like, hey.
You'll bring me back in just occasionally. Just
no, I will.
Throw something my direction.
I will, all the time.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Because I am a little worried about that.
I will,
like,
do.
Like, yeah, my work's done after the first 3 minutes, and now.
After every
pick. What am I doing?
Did they work out at your house? Did they work out at your house? All right. I got to drop.
See, DJ's already, like, what am I doing here, right?
Oh, he's here already. There he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's
all
right. It's his gig. Here. He's wondering. See?
I'm going right to steal the show tonight. Everybody. Kurt Warner here. Daniel Jeremiah coming up next. Love being on ESPN, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM. You can't avoid us, basically, from the Steel City.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Archive. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, they're all covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app. PayPal account is required, and then you share all the moments that matter. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates. All right, I'm going to say something that sounds a little irrational, but how's that for a setup?
By the way,
I'm intrigued.
Listen, go on.
you know my role I view for the combine in the NFL draft, which is, you know, obviously know the players best I can.
Right.
But I'm not the all 22 guy. I'm not the film guy. I'm not breaking down. I'm about storylines. I'm about knowing what fans are interested in. This show helps with that. And what each team's needs are and what the fans' expectations of meeting those needs are, this show helps for that.
Absolutely.
And in terms of getting ready for the draft, the combine helps for that. Because on average, the drafted players, 98% of the NFL draft are players, when they're drafted, come from the pool of those who were at the combine.
Right.
So I've seen, in calling every day and every second of the combine with Daniel Jeremiah, who's coming up top of hour number two, I've seen the draft just out of order at the combine.
Sure.
Tonight, we ordered them. So I say all of that as a setup to say, we just heard again Kurt Warner saying, in watching the film of quarterbacks and everybody else, who flashed, he mentioned Jordan Tyson flashing. And you're hearing over and over again that Carnell Tate may not be the first receiver taken. It may be Jordan Tyson. And I have not watched Jordan Tyson film, okay? And I haven't seen much Arizona State action since Scataboo left.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Well, they weren't really on the national stage last year.
Right. But I did want their coach when Michigan was shopping
did,
for a
yeah,
coach.
You very much you
know?
Did. Yeah.
But this is all a setup to say, I don't know why I'm irrationally upset about hearing that Carnell Tate might not be the first receiver
why?
Taken.
I have a theory as to why.
And that is?
You don't want to think that Michigan got torched by the number two receiver in the draft,
no,
not the number one.
Excuse me. They got torched by the number two receiver on Ohio State. That's Carnell Tate. Okay? Like, so... So, yeah, this moment. Thank you, Hoskins, for putting it up again. The are you
is
not
this the
entertained?
Last time we get to use this photo?
No, I'm sure it'll be different times to use it. He's not an NFL player yet, and it'll take some time for him to get in his new uniform. But no, obviously you want to be beaten by the best. Like once upon a time,
right?
You know, I'll share this back. You know, when I was an intern at the Staten Island Advance, long before I met Susie, there was somebody who was a coworker of mine. I, got the Heisman Trophy delivered from her. She wound up marrying somebody else on the staff. So at least I lost out to the guy who won the championship. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care.
It's one way to look at it.
It's one way to look at it. It's a bad, inartful way of describing it, potentially, but it's the truth. I do want to lose to the guy who's, you know, number one, obviously.
Yeah.
But I've just seen him play, man. And here I am, like, caping for an Ohio State. Trust me. I am so trying to prepare myself tonight for hearing Ohio State four times in the first 10 picks. That will not be a great professional moment for me. Yeah. I'm going to fight through it. Great personal moment for me.
You've been readying yourself for that for
months.
I'm
just saying. No, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Does it seem like, I guess
I'm irrational because I have not seen the body of work of the other guy.
Right.
Who maybe he and the guy on the screen who I have seen the most, he may wind up being the other guy. But I'm hearing now like that Tate could be available all the way down for the Jets at 16.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Well, Matt Miller kind of set us up yesterday with, you know, he had Jordan Tyson in his mock draft going 5. I don't know. It just seems like it also has come kind of out of nowhere in the last week or so.
But, you know, it comes out of nowhere in terms of us talking about it or us hearing about
right.
it. But, you know, evaluators have been, you know, drilling down tape on Tyson. And the minute that he starts working out and looks fine and everybody isn't concerned about the red flags about his health, off you go.
Maybe there was something to the Carnell Tate 40 time. Remember that from that was the big story
nothing,
coming out
man.
Of the combine.
That should be nothing. I mean, Terrell Davis ran a slow 42,
yeah.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. Daniel Jeremiah coming up in hour number two.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.